In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and to the ages of all ages. Amen. In light of all the tragic events that have been happening in the world around us, persecution in the Coptic Church, earthquakes in Haiti, persecution in the Far East and so many different places around the world. At this time, many questions arise in our mind concerning God's responsibility towards all these natural disasters and problems that are happening in the world. And God willing, tomorrow in the Divine Liturgy, we will go in more details about this subject, as I've been approached by so many people this week to ask why God is allowing all these evils to happen and why do bad things happen to good people. But for tonight, would like to experience and live with David the prophet, his feelings and his emotions as he went through trials and tribulations, and see how he dealt with them. God granted David the prophet an expressive spirit, of course guided by the Holy Spirit of God, to transfer to us some of these emotions and feelings while going through the hardship. So we'd like to meditate tonight on Psalm 13, which is a beautiful psalm, whereas a person who is at the end of his rope, who has felt that he has gone very far from God, that all his enemies have prevailed against him, and he just doesn't know what to do anymore, he runs to God to seek help, and even at some times to blame on God. Why are you so quiet? Why haven't you heard? Why have you afflicted me with all these problems that are far and beyond my own abilities? But the beauty of David the prophet is that even if he starts out in distress, he ends the psalm very positively and with a cheerful spirit, confessing his trust in God, confessing that the Lord is still in control despite the way that the world seems around him. Now today is much different than how it was many centuries ago, because now we have the media which can transfer to us immediately all the events that are happening in the world. Maybe back then they were still sheltered. The news that reached them was through word of mouth. But they didn't know all the things that were happening in the world. Yet, we can have a glimpse of the tragedy that was still happening in the world. That tragedy or sadness has always been a part of human existence. Let's read together Psalm 13 and see how David the prophet taught us, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to consider pain and suffering and trials and tribulations, and how to deal with them. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And glory be to the Holy Trinity, one God, Amen. The life of David has been smeared with problems and trials ever since his childhood. And the book of 1 Samuel gives us some glimpses over the life of David to see how he struggled and how he was persecuted. And in many ways his life resembles the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. First, in the beginning, as a child, we meet with the childhood innocence of David, how he was ruddy, how he loved music, sitting with the harp, how he was faithful with his flock that he took care of, and how God prevailed in his life and helped him with his life, winning over Goliath and returning the dignity of Israel. And also 1 Samuel 16, we see or come across the story of David being anointed as a king over the rest of his brothers. And in this chapter also we see him keeping and tending his sheep. And God asked that Samuel would anoint him, for he is the one that is chosen by him. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So the first lesson we have to keep in mind is that even though David was anointed by the holy oil and he received the Spirit of God, and God has chosen him, and he also said such a profound verse in this chapter, 1 Samuel 16, that human beings usually look at the outside appearance and God actually looks at the heart. But the Lord looks at the heart, and he called on him and he anointed him. This does not prevent us from going through hardships and trials and tribulations. The fact that we are Christians or churchgoers does not prevent us or shield us from experiencing some kinds of hardships. Because at times people say, why is it that bad things happen to good people? I pray, I fast, I go to the church. Well, this is not a reason to shield us or prevent us from trials and tribulations and hardships. But the purpose of that is that it will protect us during the time of hardship. Being close to the Lord and loving Him and building a strong relationship with Him actually is the reason that we can endure pain and suffering and hardship. And this is different than the way that the world around us handles hardships. When people face hardships, if they are non-believers, the first thing they do that they immediately look towards God and start the blame game. If God is good, why did He do such and such? Why is God so unjust? And start to blame Him. But unless we have a deep and a profound relationship with God and we are anointed and we build this personal relationship with the Lord, we will not be able to handle trials and tribulations. Yes, we may fall weak in the midst of trial and tribulation at times. We may feel weak. We may look unto God and feel that He has abandoned us. After all, David the prophet starts the psalm by saying, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? He just feels a sense of abandonment. Why have you forsaken me? I just feel that I am walking by myself during this hard time, and no one is by my side to give me aid and guidance and strength and help. And the Lord comes to us and He says, no, I haven't forgotten you. I'm actually right there by your side, carrying you and walking with you. And I feel your pain and I feel your hurt. Our Lord Jesus didn't want to eliminate trials or pain or suffering because He Himself experienced it in His life on earth. If it was God's intention that we would have no problems whatsoever, would not experience suffering or tragedy, then the easiest thing He would have done is that He could have lived a perfect life here on earth. He could have cruised right through it, born in a good place, comfortable, lived a good life, loved by everyone. Anyone who hears His words would immediately believe on Him, His message, died or didn't die, just ascended to heaven, you know, without any pain or suffering. But that's not the way that the Lord has chosen or picked to live His life. As a matter of fact, Isaiah the prophet spoke and prophesied about the Lord's suffering ever before, 700 years before His birth. Isaiah 53, starting from verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. So our Lord saw a different kind of depth in pain and in suffering. By his wounds we were healed. He offered, or he willingly went through this grief and pain and suffering so that we would not have to go through it ourselves, and that he would forgive us our sins and iniquities and lapses and transgressions, and grant to us eternal life. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul when I just feel so alone? And I'm supposed to take counsel in you. And I'm supposed to have all these people around me who are caring for me. And I just feel a sense of abandonment. Having sorrow in my heart daily, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? Just feels that the evil one keeps throwing at me all these fiery darts and all these temptations that I just cannot handle on my own. David the prophet, even though he began his life with God and he was extremely faithful to him and he was victorious in war, very positive outlook to life, quickly things turned around. And he started to be chased, and he had several opportunities to kill the king Saul, even though he was now anointed by God. But he honored Saul, and he did not hurt him in any way. He spared his soul, and more than one time, and we can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 26. But afterwards, when David starts to be chased, and he's being called names, and he's being called even a dog, and he felt at that time that God was chastising him for the sin that he had committed. Even though he was king, he was being humiliated and chased around. Then he fell into grave sin. And 2 Samuel chapter 11, we see David, another side of David, another season in David's life, where all the people in the kingdom, it was the season for everyone to go out to battle. It was the custom at that time. And he was still laying in his castle. He did not go out for war. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. And in this chapter, we see him committing a series of sins and iniquities. Of course, he looked from the balcony of his palace. He sees Bathsheba, who is the wife of Uriah, the Hittite. And he calls her over. He commits adultery. And then he doesn't know. He wants to bring back Uriah from the battle in order to cover up for his sin. Unfortunately, Uriah is so determined to stay outside of his household. He wouldn't go back to his house. He stays outside of the palace. He's so determined to continue the battle. He's so serious. So he ends up putting him in front of the battlefield in order that he would be killed. So he commits murder. And he commits lies also. He lies. And he was deceptive. All of these are a series of sins that he has committed, mentioned all in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Of course, when we fall into sin, we feel a sense of despair. And this is something that is very common that the devil, the evil one, does to us, is that he makes us to fall into a mistake or a sin. And then he says, you are now so bad. How can you stand in front of God to pray? How can you go to take communion? You should be so ashamed of yourself. And it's like almost like a right-left punch that the evil one throws at us, because we can't get up again. We just feel so down, and we feel that we've been conquered, and with what face should we stand in front of God? So of course, at the time of sin, we feel so low and so defeated. But God is searching for us, and He is calling us back to Him in this particular time. He wants us back to Him to say, come to me, my beloved. I will wipe up your tears. So the best thing is not to fall in despair when we fall in sin, because God is seeking us back. And he sends to him Nathan to call him out of his misery and out of his distress, to tell him that he still loves him and he still cares for him. And he gives him some kind of analogy. And then finally David confesses and he says to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. So again, he might feel that God has abandoned him, but it is at times us who leave God or do not focus on him or continue enjoying sin or life away from him. But he is calling us back to him, even at our lowest moments. He doesn't want to see his beloved children stray away from him. David is in distress. He feels that he is abandoned, but God is the one who is extending his hand to call him back and to bring him back to himself. He confesses his sins and he receives the absolution from the Lord's hand through Nathan in this chapter, chapter 12 in 2nd book of Samuel. Again, we see the continuous struggles with King David, with his son Absalom, commits treason. And you find that David escaping from Jerusalem. The closest people to us may be the source of our pain or our suffering or our trials. But God has a plan and God gives us comfort and He wants us to trust in Him. Listen to these offensive words that David, the prophet and the king heard in 2 Samuel 16 verse 9. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Because David was being cursed earlier on. Verse 5, now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. Coming from there, he came out cursing continuously as he came, and he threw stones at David, and that all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And Shimei's son said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rouch. And this word is also translated, rouch is like a worthless man. So a man of bloodshed and a worthless man. This Shimei, the son of Gera, who is he? He's just from the house of Saul. But he starts to curse the king and call him the worst names. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hands of Absalom your son. So now you are caught in your own evil, because you are a bloodthirsty man. To any common sense, these words would be extremely offensive, and no one would want to hear these words. Of course, David at the time, he had some followers and people who were protecting him, and they wanted to bring this man and cut him in pieces, Shimei ibn Gera. Why should this man curse the king? But look at the beautiful and the spiritual response of David the prophet. He knows his weakness and he knows that he has fallen into sin. And he knows that if it wasn't for God's grace, he wouldn't be where he is today. So he accepts it in a spiritual manner, not out of weakness, because at times we feel if we're being insulted and we just accept it and take it and live on with it, then it's a sign of weakness. As a matter of fact, the person who forgives and the person who understands that going through a trial or tribulation is a way of edifying and to accept the other person's faults and pray for them until they become better and the Lord changes their heart. One option in front of him was to bring this man and to tear him into pieces. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord and king? Please let me go over and take off his head." Okay, the common sense resolution for any problem is to initiate a fight, is just to tear him apart. But this is not God's way. What did the king say? The king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David.' Who then shall say, 'Why have you done so?'" And David said to Abishai and his servants, "See how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day." Something that goes completely against common sense is how to accept a trial and say, maybe the Lord is trying to edify me. It's not that we have necessarily done something that is completely bad, but the Lord is testing my patience, my endurance. Trials, temptations, hardships are going to be part of our life. We cannot run away from them. They will come. They will come from our colleagues at work. They will come from our co-workers or, you know, students at school or family members. They will come from the closest members who even love us. But if we deal with these situations in a spiritual manner, we will take their blessing, and the Lord is able to reward us 100-fold here on earth and everlasting in the life which is to come. The life of David the prophet has been filled with so many trials and temptations. And I love the Holy Scriptures because they're so, especially in the Old Testament, you get to live in a very realistic realm of the lives of these saints. It didn't portray these lives as supernatural at all times, but they lived just like you and I. They complained. They had their weak moments. They had their strong moments. And in the midst of all of this, the Lord looks at them and says, "I saw the heart of David as my own heart." Isn't this so beautiful? David, who had so many faults, he fell in adultery and lies and deception and murder. The Lord still looks at him and he says, "I want to call you back unto myself." David, the prophet today in Psalm 13, he still complains to the Lord and he says, "Lord, yes, it is true that, you know, I'm going to try to seem to be strong in front of people," right? In front of this man who was cursing him. He was strong and he gave good advice to the people who were around him. He said, let him curse. But deep inside of him, he was wounded. He was wounded. We cannot deny that. And you and I, when we go through these hard times, of course, we have to be wounded. We have to feel down. But the beauty of this psalm is that after he asked, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul?" These are all internal tearing apart that he is going through. But the main thing which is beautiful in this psalm is that David would always go back to the Lord to reaffirm his trust in him. And this is what faith is. Faith is confessing our trust in God. Trust in his word. Trust in his life-saving actions to us, towards us, in his death, resurrection, ascension, and coming back to judge the living and the dead, and taking us to live with him in eternal life. This is what faith is. Faith is placing my trust in him and saying, "I have no one else but you to strengthen me during the trial and temptation, during this hardship that is coming eternally from inside, from someone who's very close to us, from inside the church, or from exterior, or through natural disasters that are happening in the world around us. Whom have I on earth but you?" I have no one else on earth And I have no desire for anyone else but you. You are the source of my comfort and my trust. And Lord, even though my faith might be weak at times, yes, I'm allowed. The biggest, the most well-known of prophets and saints had their weak moments or dark nights, as some people call them. But they were never left down. They always found a way to pick themselves back up, to assure themselves in God's trust. He says, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes. And here comes the struggle in our prayers. Struggle in our prayers. That when we feel down, we're not just going to stay down, but we will call upon the Lord day and night until He lifts us back up, because He is our only refuge. It is only through prayers and supplication and asking Him that He will come speedily to save us. He is our only refuge. He is our only strength. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. When Nehemiah went in front of the king of Babylon, immediately he saw that his face was disturbed, and he asked him, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You are always cheerful. But when we are feeling down, we feel people around us know that something is wrong. But through the grace of God, we are going to be strong and cheerful in the midst of persecution, in the midst of hardships, natural disasters, whatever it is, we are going to keep a positive spirit and say, let the glory be to God. Let the glory be to God. I was so moved when I saw one of the videos of, you know how they are videotaping now everything live, and as the martyrs who were killed in Nag Hammadi went to the hospital and there is no medical care for them, and one of the mothers was just weeping and crying and screaming so hard, and the sister was telling her mom, Mom, don't weep, rejoice, he's in heaven, he's a martyr, he's praying for us, he died for the sake of Christ, and you shouldn't be so much upset. It is really important at the times that we are feeling down and a sense of that the Lord has abandoned us, prayer is going to be our refuge, and confessing our trust in Him. And this is exactly what He says in verse 5. But I have trusted in your mercy. I have trusted in your mercy. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. I have trusted in your mercy. In tonight's Vespers reading, we saw how Peter was weak in his faith. He asked the Lord, he says, if you want me to come to you, I'll come. But then when the Lord asked him to come, and he looked at the waves, he focused on the waves around him, he didn't see Christ who's standing before him, Jesus our Lord who has called him and extended his hand to him. When he set his eyes away from the Lord Jesus, this is when he started to sink. And that's why in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the waves, we should continue to set our eyes on our Lord Jesus. Not on the waves. Not that the Lord is doing a great miracle by asking me to walk on water. As long as my eyes is on Him, I am safe. And the Lord Jesus asked him, why were you afraid? Why did you doubt? And as he started to sink, it is at that time he called on the Lord. He said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And this is such a beautiful prayer to say to God in the time of hardship. Lord, save me. I am weak. Without you, I can do nothing. But with you, I have eternal life. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. In the midst of the trial, in the midst when my spirit is still faint and weak, I'm affirming my trust in the Lord. And I will rejoice. I will find joy in the midst of the trial and the tribulation. Because God is still in control. God is still at the top. He is still the Pantocrator. I will find joy, even though it is bitter and it's so difficult. But my heart within me, my soul within me, will yearn for God's salvation and for His righteousness. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. He has then dealt bountifully with me, meaning that I will remember all the good things that the Lord has done with me. And this is a problem in today's world, is that when there is a natural disaster, all of us rise and say, where is God? God is so loving. Why has He done so and so? But have we accredited God for all the great things that He has done around us? For caring for each individually, for creating us in such a beautiful manner? We have to remember how bountiful He was with us. all the miracles that have gone on in my life. And who says that some of these things are evil anyways? God willing, tomorrow we'll go into more details. But everything that comes from the hand of God is always good. He is the provider of all good things in our lives. And that's why David, the prophet, will say, I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. He has done so many miracles in my life. Remember the time that I was so down and He sent me Nathan to bring me out of sin? He has done so bountifully with me. So if I'm now running away from Absalom in the wilderness and I'm being called names by a worthless man and he's calling me some names, so what? He has done bountifully with me. He has done so many great things. He has cared for me, cared for my families, you know, given me good health. He has, you know, provided shelter or a job. He has done so bountifully with me. So I'm not going to come at this time and forget all of the great things that the Lord has done with me and start just to focus on what seems from outside as a trial or a problem. I pray tonight that the Lord would grant us strength in the time of weakness. And even if we have certain feelings at times, we have to come open in front of Christ. Tell Him, Lord, we're weak. Even though I would like to have more faith in You, just at this moment I don't have faith, confess to Him and tell Him, increase my faith. Help me, Lord, to keep my focus on You, despite how the world around me is just trying to tear You apart and just say that, you know, how come You have done this and that. I will continue to trust in You, even in my weakest moments, even in the moments that I'm feeling down, I have no faith. Lord, I will be part of Your community always. I will have faith in You, because in You only I know that I have eternal life. May the Lord bless us this evening and always to strengthen our faith and to bless us to be able also to influence others around us during this time to continue to trust in the Lord despite all the hardships that are happening around us. And glory be to God forever and ever.